Senate Democratic Leader Jennifer Schilling is finishing her first year as a leader. Senator Schilling represents the 32nd Senate District, which includes her hometown of La Crosse. Wisconsin I has also asked Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald to do a year-end interview. Senator Schilling, welcome back to Wisconsin I.
Thank you. It was about a year ago, I think, we had our first sit-down when I became the leader.
Yes.
So it's a nice way to end the year.
And so let's cast it forward 1 year. When we are sitting here a year from now, after the elections, how many Senate Democrats are there going to be in the 17-18 session? Prediction.
Well, I tell you, winning begets winning. And so we are excited about our opportunities in 2016. We certainly were focused on the 18th Senate District before it was announced that it was going to be an open seat. We were focused on the northern part of the state,
12th?
In the 12th Senate District.
Senator Tiffany?
A candidate up there that is announced. And we will see. We've got a candidate who's announcing in the 10th Senate District soon as well. And there, who knows? You always hear chatter if there are other retirements that are coming. We have to be ready. But we certainly want to. I like to under-promise and over-deliver. So we are looking at winning seats as we head into 2018 and then 2020. And we need to do that in order to have some street credibility that Senate Democrats can put together winning messages. We can recruit candidates that reflect the districts that they come from, and that we can go out there and talk about the very different policies and direction that the Republicans have taken this state versus where the Democrats would like our state.
Let's talk about some of these districts. The county executive, Mr. Harris, is running in the... Got to look it up. 18th.
12th. Oh, yeah, 18th.
18th.
Yes.
And then in the 12th, you already have a candidate.
Yes.
Are you looking for primaries, or are you satisfied as a Senate Democratic leader with both those candidates?
Well, I've learned a valuable lesson from past primaries here in the Senate, and so I want to make sure that the candidates that we have that are out there right now, they are working hard. They, in the 18th district with Mark Harris, he announced in September.
Yes.
You know, I don't really know if there's others that are really kicking the tires to take a look at that he really is putting together a strong team and working that district and getting out and meeting people and getting just that foundation that you need to have to build a winning Senate race as we head into 2016. And we'll see what happens in other parts of the state. But I've learned a valuable lesson of primaries in the past, and certainly think, you know, we want to be able to make sure that we have strong candidates that are heading in so that, you know, the real opponent is the Republicans, and it should not be amongst ourselves.
Why are you optimistic about the 10th district, Senator?
Well, I'm optimistic about the year of 2016.
Yeah.
Certainly, Senator Harsdorff has had that seat for many years. I think 15 years she has been in the Senate. And, you know, she used to be one of the more moderate members of the caucus. And that really is becoming sort of the way of the horse and buggy to try to identify moderate members of the Republican caucus. And so I think some of the votes that been taken on finance and some other things, just a disconnect in the district with what people are looking for. I hear a lot of issues about local control as I travel around the state, that people are upset about inserting themselves into local decisions, taking away home rule and local power. I just think the open records issue that happened on the finance committee, and that was just a big, you know, kind of hullabaloo that happened very quickly. I think we're going to continue to see attempts at that. But I think there's just in general a fatigue in Wisconsin right now with 5 years of Republican control. We have seen decreasing wages. We have seen an increase in layoffs and basically a shrinking middle class. And this recently we just surpassed the 10,000 job layoff here in Wisconsin. That marker, we're at an all 5-year high right now with layoffs in Wisconsin. So I just think we could be doing things better. We need to be looking towards our education. We need to be looking at infrastructure. We need to be looking at healthcare in the state and opportunities to create an economy that works for all.
What are the biggest three mistakes you think the Republicans made that gives your team, the Senate Democrats, the message that you need to pick up 1, 2, or 3 more seats in November?
I think they have overestimated the public's tolerance on an example of open records and just, you know, going so far that we need to have transparency and accountability in the state. Democracy is healthiest and works best when we have that open, transparent government. I think they have
Now, are you talking about that 11th hour amendment adopted to the budget and then quickly stripped from the budget?
Yes.
And when the Republicans say that didn't become law, the Senate Democratic answer is what?
But they still wanted to do it. The fact is that they still proposed it. Members still voted for it. But we can see, you know, it's, I think the larger issue is, you know, do you trust those people still to be looking out for the best interests of Wisconsin? Are they looking out for their own best self-interest? And so that question of trust when it comes to, you know, election changes in Wisconsin, we were doubling the, you know, levels that you can contribute to candidates where we have more money will be coming in coordination. You know, are they looking out for their own best interests and self-preservation of their own jobs rather than looking out for the best interest of Wisconsin jobs that we are, like I said, now surpassed the 10,000 number of layoffs in Wisconsin. So I think they've overreached. I think they have had a disconnect on the issues. We started the year, the first thing out of the box that we passed in the state Senate was determining a new way to select the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. You know, nobody has ever stopped me to talk to me about that process and said that is something that the legislature needs to insert itself in. Mm-hmm. We ended the year with the Government Accountability Board changes and campaign finance changes. In between prevailing wage, right to work, we've decreased wages here in Wisconsin. People, I think, just have this fatigue of what has happened over the last 5 years. You know, the flagship agency that the governor created of WEDIC has just bumbled and stumbled, and we've seen stinging audits that have come out of the audit bureau, and a really unusually high number of turnover of lead managers over there. So I think we have had an urgency to step up as Senate Democrats and say, look, we need to do something different over at WEDIC. We look at, you know, waste and fraud and abuse and bad loans that were sent out, and we can't recapture those. There needs to be better oversight of taxpayer dollars coming out of our job agency.
The emergence of Donald Trump and Ben Carson would show that some voters across the nation are tired of both parties. Do you think Democrats like you can offer a difference that would make that would resonate with some of these voters who are fed up with politicians from both parties?
Well, this fall, Senate Democrats unveiled our Badger Blueprint. It is our forward-looking agenda that we would like to put forward. It's positive. It talks about growth, opportunity, and innovation in this state. It looks at transportation and infrastructure. It looks at leveraging federal dollars to help in small business and entrepreneurs. We think we need to do, you know, a better job of our return on investment here in the state. So agencies that have tax credits and incentives, are we really meeting and those incentives really materializing for job growth in the state? We want to look at families who have student loan debt and what has happened there. Senator Hansen has worked very hard on that piece of legislation and that dialogue we've seen even at the federal level. But it makes sense. People scratch their head and say, look, I can refinance my car. I can refinance my home loan. Why can't I do that for student loan debt? That we are saddled with an enormous amount of debt as we head into beginning careers and wanting to purchase a home and start a family. That I think that makes sense. We also want to be looking at legislation that is helping families that maybe have expensive child care costs and having a tax deduction for them. And we've got senators who have introduced legislation to try to put a little bit more money in people's pocket. And I think, you know, regardless of Democrat, Republican, urban or rural, people understand the expense of quality child care. And if we can help them with a deduction on their taxes, that makes sense. The third component, and we've got a lot of issues that we'd like to talk about that are encompassed in our blueprint, but one is retirement security as well, that there's still a lot of insecurity and angst about retirement savings. And so Senator Hansen has a bill that would establish a board for the public to be able to set aside money and to participate in pension for themselves. So I think overall, though, I mean, this year has been a year of missed opportunities. We would have liked to talk about those, and we weren't able to do it because of the agenda put forth by the Republicans. And it's been a year of broken promises, and I think we can do better. And so as Senate Democrats, we want to articulate a positive, forward-looking agenda that resonates with people in Wisconsin. It's not one that's going to be talking about defunding women's health care and Planned Parenthood. It's not going to be one that talks about defunding life-saving research in Wisconsin and the impacts that will have. It's not going to be one that's going to be depressing wages such as right to work and prevailing wage. people want us to get back to the basics, it's kind of those meat and potato issues in Wisconsin. They worry about their schools and the quality of teachers that they have. They worry about the roads that they drive on. They worry about just their own economic anxiety about the possibility of pink slips and layoff notices to their own families and loved ones. And they worry about a university system that will remain top-notch. I've got two boys that, you know, I hope are, you know, class of 2027 and 2031 somewhere in a university school here in Wisconsin. And I worry about what the system will look like years from now when they have had to endure deep cut after deep cut in our budgets.
8 of the 16 Senate seats that are up next year are held by Democrats. Have you got assurances that every one of your incumbents is going to seek re-election?
They are all in. They are working what they need to do to have the resources to be successful, but also connecting with their constituents and with voters back home and the legislation that they're introducing and being responsive to local needs that they have come across with meeting with local elected officials. But also, you know, just being that hustle on the hustle of being out at all of those events in a community to be visible and to be really part of the community that they represent.
You listed the 3 GOP seats that you think present the most opportunity for your party. Are you worried about Senators Hansen's and Wirch, who both had recall elections here just a few years ago?
I am not. As I look at the incumbents that the Senate Democrats that we have up, it's Senator Hansen, Senator Lassa, Senator Wirch, after redistricting, was a pretty solid seat for Senator Wirch down there. But as I mentioned, both Senator Hansen and Senator Lassa are very diligent. They are hardworking senators. They both are coming off some events that they have had that they have feel very positive about. And they continue to be very engaged in our caucus. Julie is our caucus chair and really our go-to person on economic development and sits on the WEDIC board and has really been that person that we look to for many ideas and policies to change to make sure we've got good economic development and workforce development policies out there. Senator Hansen, he's got hustle on his hustle, and he's out there talking about a lot of the issues that are included in the Badger Blueprint, like higher ed, lower debt, pension changes, but also accountability measures over at WEDIC. And he's been one who's been also calling for the governor to make sure that IOU of $70,000 that he owes to the state of Wisconsin for his travel expenses and things during his short presidential campaign, that those are paid. And so he continues to be working very hard and a very valued member of our caucus. He's our assistant minority leader.
The governor just signed a new campaign finance code into law yesterday. Do those changes hurt your party more than it helps the other party? Which party? Does the other party have a distinct fundraising advantage given the new campaign finance code?
We are certainly recalibrating sort of the operation of campaigns. We will have to do that. I certainly don't agree with the changes that were made. Those are the rules that are out there, and it is law. But I think we're going to see more money coming into these elections. We're going to see more coordination now. And some of it will not be able to be traced. And we just won't have sort of be able to find out who is paying for those ads, where the money has come from. And with more money, I don't think it's going to be soft and fuzzy and warm campaign ads and messages. I think it's going to be even more negative in tone. People get fed up as it is right now. No one's come up to me and said, you know what, we want more money in our elections. You know, they've never come up to, they say, they feel like we've got too much money in elections and too much influence from the unknown. So I think basically as we look ahead, we're gonna have to recalibrate, we're gonna have to be smart, but I think it does continue to have a distinct advantage to the majority party of looking at those corporate dollars coming into campaigns.
Well, are you gonna be able to compete, or do you think in some of those key Senate races, your party's gonna get outspent 2-1, 3-1?
Well, and some of those races, I have been out in my role as the minority leader and the head of our campaign operation. I have been meeting with donors across the state and really trying to articulate the message of what the Senate Democrats stand for, where our hot spots are, our opportunities for pickup, and meeting with donors and looking with other friends and allies about how we can partner and be smart, because it's going to be, you know, fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a tough, bumpy, I think, pretty negative campaign season. I think that just turns people off.
The new laws, as you're well aware, allow some corporate donations. Senate Democrats going to take donations from companies just like Republicans? Or is there anything that you're going to put off limits to try to strike a more principled tone here?
I don't want to go into battle with one hand tied behind my back. I mean, I recognize what the rules are. Like I said, we are going to have to recalibrate. So I think that's yet to be determined, sort of how those relationships are built in the future.
Okay. Yeah. Next elections, of course, will come against the backdrop of the presidential. You support Hillary Clinton, do you not?
I do support Hillary Clinton. I haven't officially endorsed her, but I do believe that Hillary will be the nominee.
And who do you see her running against? Mr. Trump, Carson, Cruz, Rubio, Bush?
You know, it is tough to call. It really is. And it seems in past Republican debates that we have seen sort of a flavor of the day, that people have kind of come up and that they've been sort of the person that was sort of the hot spot of the day. And then the next week there was somebody else. And we haven't seen that kind of churning necessarily, that we've seen Donald Trump remain kind of at the top. He was out front early, and the numbers are widening there. And it's kind of been those three that you're kind of talking about. But there probably will still be time for churning yet between now and when it becomes, you know, the nominee is determined. I'm excited on the Democratic side. You know, I think that the rhetoric of the debate has been higher as far as sort of the caliber of ideas exchanged and the civility and the tone. And I think next year will be a good year for Democrats in Wisconsin. We're excited that Russ Feingold is on the ballot, and he's out there working hard and wanting to help the Senate regain the majority as well.
If Donald Trump is the Republican nominee, are we going to be talking a year from now about President Hillary Clinton?
I hope so.
You hope so?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Governor Walker ran for president for, I think, according to WisPolitics, 71 days. What lessons did you learn about Governor Walker this year, your first year in leadership?
The lessons that I learned about Governor Walker.
Did he do anything that surprised you?
Well, I guess, you know, back here, you know, people always, you know, say that he's very disciplined and on message, and he really is. And I think at the federal level with that national press corps and those issues, he was disciplined, but yet became undisciplined at the same time. And I think just sort of the bright lights and a national press and sort of just being dogged by questions day in and day out, I took a lesson away from that as sort of his ability to stay on message, but yet become undisciplined at the same time. And I think, you know, the governor took his eye off the ball of the state of Wisconsin. And I think we are seeing that with mismanagement at WEDIC. We are seeing it on other issues that should have been dealing with. And we just didn't have sort of that high power coming out of the East Wing to sort of hammer it down that we should be focused on working on things that we should be doing in the state. We had a stall of 30 days a month during the Finance Committee of Joint Finance on issues. Transportation was one of the things that kind of was that hiccup there that we weren't able to get through. But, you know, he learned a lesson that running for president at the same time as a sitting governor is very tough to do. And it's tough to manage a state. It's tough to continue to oversee the agencies and the policies and things that are happening. Now we are seeing some troubling information coming out of Department of Corrections with Lincoln Hills. And it's tough to be flying around the country and still keeping your thumb on the issues and the agencies and the cabinet that needs to be done to kind of make sure that we're focused.
He went before the WMC summit last week and hinted that he might seek a third term. What's your reaction to a potential third term by Governor Walker?
Well, I think the public's reaction to a third term by the governor is not a promising one. I mean, right now the governor has a favorability rating of 37-38%. The legislature has a favorability rating of 31%. I mean, right there, I think that there is a disconnect right there, that the legislation that we've been working on has been, misguided as far as the agenda that we're working on. And people, I think, have that fatigue, that they're fed up. I think government works best when we've got checks and balances. And one-party rule, one-party control has not been good for Wisconsin. And we look at other states that are flourishing. We see that Wisconsin is 37th in job creation. I think we lag all of our Midwestern neighbors except Iowa. We have seen, I mean, the governor still has bills to pay from his presidential tour of, $70,000 to the taxpayers, that we want to make sure that IOU is filled. But I think we have an opportunity in 2016 to build towards a Democratic majority, work on these issues that are reasonable, work towards Wisconsin as a purple state. They want us to be a middle state. They don't want us so far to the left, so far to the right. And that political that pendulum, it swings, and I'm ready to give it a swift shove.
Some Democrats would like you to run for governor in 2018. Will you at least consider it?
My focus really is on 2016, and it really is very flattering that people think I have the skills to do that, and I am flattered when people say that to me. It certainly would be a family discussion with my husband Chris and our two boys, but for me it's about 2016 right now. I have been the minority leader. I'm wrapping up my first year. This is my first year overseeing campaigns and elections around the state, so I really want to make sure that I'm successful at the immediate before I look at the long term.
I didn't hear a no though, right? Okay. What bills do you expect to pass in the session that opens in January? We're only going to be in session a few weeks. What are you sensing are going to be some more fairly significant changes that are going to become law?
Yeah, and I'm not under any false pretenses that the next 4 months are going to be drastically different than the last 12 months that we have just gone through. So I think, you know, it's been indicated that civil service will be up in January. Yeah. That one, you know, we have problems with that, with those changes. First of all, they can't really substantiate some of the stories that they point to of why civil service reforms are needed. But more importantly, the civil service program really protects the public from partisanship, cronyism in these agencies. And I just think having people participate in that civil service exam, we can have the best and the brightest be placed in agencies and working for the public good, the common good, rather than being able to hire your best friend and put forth cronyism into these agencies. And so, you know, rather than looking at a resume and saying, oh gosh, I don't know, you interned for this Republican candidate or you worked on this Democratic campaign, I'm not so sure about you. I think that's not a good way to go about hiring practices in Wisconsin and forwarding people that your ideology matches.
What about the ban on fetal tissue research? Do you think the UW Medical School has blocked that, or do you expect that to be seriously considered and voted on next session?
I don't think there are the votes yet in the majority caucus in the Senate to deal with that. I think WMC has stepped up and said, look, let's look at what this means for research and biotech industry in the state, and talking with those that are in that field, but also in research, saying if this happens, Wisconsin will simply become a flyover state for research. And this is a very significant portfolio of Wisconsin's economic development. So we'll see what happens there. But certainly, I've had good conversations with the university system. They really are trying to make some inroads in some of those offices and working with those legislators to talk about what the unintended consequence of such a misguided ban would be.
You sound like you expect the Republicans to give your team, the Democrats, even more issues and messages for next year?
I certainly hope so. We have got sort of a long list of lowlights of 2015, of things that have happened that have decreased family wages, are not building up middle-class families in Wisconsin. Deep cuts to higher education in this state. I mean, the UW system is a beloved school in this state. People are very emotionally tied and supportive of the university system, and they worry about what it's going to look like for their children and their grandchildren in the years and decades to come. But I think, again, it's been a year of missed opportunities, and I think in Wisconsin we believe in the promise of a better tomorrow, and that promise hasn't been kept, and in some instances the promise has been broken.
So, final question then. When you and I talk a year from now, it's going to be 1914 Democrats in control of the state Senate?
I am excited about the opportunity to change offices, to have a different title before my name. But again, it's about the basics of blocking and tackling and no unforced errors as we look ahead. But again, like I said, I like to under-promise, over-deliver. Let's get out there and let's hustle and let's make sure that we're out there and working towards a better, brighter Wisconsin for all.
Senate Democratic Leader Jennifer Schilling, thanks for talking to Wisconsin Eye, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you.